Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He's talking about conversion here. Until you come to the end of yourself, you will not come to the beginning of Him.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, we continue our ongoing study of the book of John. We examine the story of Lazarus in John 11, where Christ proclaimed, I am the resurrection and the life.
This particular I am, the resurrection and life, is in the backdrop of some very dramatic events in which the people at this particular time were not really seeing life the way Jesus was seeing it. We as humans are obsessed with knowing why. We can't always know God's mind. A backdrop in John 11, look if you would, when you find that the man we're talking about here in chapter 11, verse 1, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. He was of Bethany, that town of Mary and her sister Martha, and there were these three. We don't know what happened to their mom and dad. The reality is they must have had some money. They had their own home and just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. This was the same one, verse 2, of Mary talking about that anointed the Lord with ointment. This was the same one that Mary had sent unto him to the Lord. And in verse 4, Jesus heard it. They had said in verse 3, Behold, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. This was Lazarus, the one that was very tight with Jesus. They were close friends. Jesus loved him, and he heard this. Jesus, verse 5, loved Martha and Mary, a sister also, and Lazarus. And when he heard it, he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same place. He didn't go anywhere. I mean, if anybody, you're going to go travel to catch somebody to help him out, Jesus would be for anybody, but particularly a friend, and a friend that he really loved, I'm going to go help him out. But he stayed there for 2 days, and after that, then he said, let's go to Judea again. So his disciples, verse 8, said, well, Master, the Jews sought late to stone you, and you were going to go there again? I mean, this is just, we were there a few months earlier, they're going to kill you, and you want to go back? He ended up saying, our friend Lazarus sleeps. So their response was, well, good, he slept. But then he said, listen, I'm not talking about sleep, I'm talking about death. He died. So he went on to say, listen, for your sakes, verse 15, I'm doing this to the intent that you may believe. Thomas, the one that was Didymus, the fellow disciple, said, well, let us go. We're going to die with him. And the rest of the story tells about this exchange between, as Jesus now, verse 17, 18, 19, he goes there, and you end up finding Mary and Martha both there being comforted by many, many people. They're in the home. So Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, came to him, verse 20. Mary was still sitting there in the house. And notice verse 21. Then said Mary unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Drop down to verse 32. Eventually, Mary ends up coming out and going to where Jesus was, chapter 11, verse 32. And she falls down at his feet and says unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Had you know people that live with if-onlys? Man, if only! And there are shackles from the past that hold on to people because you find people analyzing events and coming to the conclusion, that's good, that's bad. And do not we do that for our whole life? Now, in all fairness to Mary and Martha, for both of them, they knew that. Well, in fact, as Martha ends up making the statement in verse 22, of chapter 11. I know that even now, whatever you're going to ask of God, God will give it to you. And hence, when Jesus said to her, your brother is going to rise again, Martha said, well, I know that's going to happen in the last day of the resurrection. We're all going to get resurrection bodies. And then Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about that. And then he says, and he turns a principle into him as the person said, I'm the resurrection and the life. As he says it in verse 25, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she did believe that. And so did Mary in verse 32. And when you end up finding in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews weeping, and came to her. He groaned in his spirit. He was so grieved and was troubled that so many people were so hurting because Lazarus had died, and they knew that he was a good friend of Jesus. And if Jesus just had been there 4 days earlier, this would have never happened. We wouldn't have gone through any of this trouble and pain and sorrow. And Jesus, in verse 35, Jesus wept. He didn't want them to hurt, but he knew they're going to have to hurt in order that down the road here, literally within an hour, everybody's going to be okay again. If you follow the rest of the story out, we would know that he did just that and called Lazarus out of the tomb, a powerful statement in that day in which the magicians so often would whisper incantations in a quiet little murmuring, and Jesus stood there, as you find in verse 39 when he said, "Take away the stone," when they're all there gathered around that particular cave, and you find in verse 41, when they took away the stone, Jesus lifted his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me, and I know that you hear me always because of the people which stand by, and I said it." He's outlined saying, "I'm praying to you, God, out loud so people can hear me. I don't have to say this, but I'm doing it for others' benefit so they would believe that you sent me." And then he spoke and he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And sure enough, it's exactly what happened. The dead came forth, and they bound their hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And that's exactly what happened. Because out of him weeping, because he didn't want them to hurt so bad, he knew what they didn't know. His view was purely vertical and not horizontal. And I think that's why Jesus wept, knowing that they were going to learn this lesson, but he hurt so much for them. And by the way, this is exactly what Jesus does for you and me. When some people are hurting so deeply, he hurts with them. But he's asking us to have the perspective of life that he has, because ultimately, in the raising of Lazarus that was good, that cycle went on because many believed. But the reality is, in verse 46, some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And so out of a great thing of Lazarus rising from the grave, and man, they were, you talk about a bold witness, that out of that good came bad. People ran to the head honchos and the Pharisees and said, "You know what happened?" And they decided, "Enough's enough. Shortly, the Passover's coming, he'll show up, he's a rabbi, and we'll deal with it." And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Because he goes in the triumphant entry, and 4 days later, he's put in a grave, he's killed. People were so hurting again. But 3 days later, what happened? He's resurrected. This particular resurrection is the last of three that happened. The other two, with the widow's child and Jairus's young child, both were resurrected. They died, but instantly God knew and he brought them to life. And this here is the one in which, above all others, was a miracle because he was in the grave. There was no doubt that he was dead, and he brought him to life. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and the life." What did he mean by that in verse 25 and 6? And I think that he's stating to this people there are three primary dimensions that he's referring to in this resurrection. And let me give them to you. I think they'll be helpful to you because the application of it for you and me today remains to be true. This is no other in Scripture where you find really a funeral text. But if there's any funeral text that Jesus gave, this is the closest you're going to get to it when he makes the statement to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." Look at this divine sovereignty that clothed here what seemingly is human error. Man, he should have left straight away. But Jesus knew all. This is what happened. Notice, if you would, the portraits that you find. Here's the dimensions. Number one, there was a dimension of the resurrected life. You find that when he makes the statement, "I am the resurrection and the life." Why did he make that statement, "I'm the resurrection and the life"? Because he was saying that for Lazarus, who was going to be raised from the dead and going to have more life on this earth, that there was the point in which for him, this was a miracle among many miracles that he brought to life. Fact is, this is the last of seven before Jesus himself is crucified. If you took the book of John, as we've done, and stepped back and said, here are seven I am statements. Another way you could study the book of John is to take the seven miracles that John mentions. And all of those are significant because they all show life and having that scene bettered. When Jesus turned the water into wine in John 2, he made as the source of life something bad good. Healing number 2, the nobleman's son, the second miracle in John chapter 4. He took something bad and made it better. The healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, the third miracle John records in John 5. He was the master over time. He made something bad better. When he fed the 5,000 with nothing to feed them with, which is a wonderful illustration of Jesus said, I'm the manna, I'm the bread, I'm going to make something not so good in bad situation better. He also mentions number 5 in walking on the water and stilling the storm in John chapter 6. He was the master over nature and he was proving again, I'm the resurrected life, I'm it over turning water into wine and the nobleman's son and the lame man and feeding the 5,000 and walking on the water. And number 6, healing the blind man from birth in John 9, which he said, I'm the light of the world. Now, all of those state to us that until you come to the end of yourself, you will not come to the beginning of him. When you come to the conclusion that Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life, he's talking about conversion here. Because the reality is that resurrection goes beyond lesser battles and smaller aims. It becomes known more for what they are than what they aren't, because the resurrected life puts us in a place to realize, you know, I'm doing something for life and not just something I'm against. It goes beyond what I want to who I know. And Jesus was getting these people to the place to realize that if you've ever experienced a miracle of salvation, you know that life changes. And many times people miss the simple point that really what kind of life we're talking about is a life of conversion. And that's why the resurrection is incredibly important, because without the resurrection, you have no life. We are going to get to there, but turn to 1 Corinthians 15, because I'm going to refer to that. But understand, number one, there is the dimension of the resurrected life. That's conversion. If you understand that, when Jesus said, I'm the resurrected life, he went on to make the statement in verse 25, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, what did he mean by that? He that believes in me, Jesus said to Martha, though he were dead, yet he shall live. If he said, I'm the resurrection and the life, that's the dimension of resurrected life, then understand the dimension of spiritual life. Because now he's not just talking about the resurrected life and conversion, he's talking about the spiritual life on this earth, or what we would know as the crucified life.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.